more Jesus.
I need just a little more Jesus.
Hey, yeah, I need just a little more Jesus.
I need just a little more Jesus
to help me along the way.
Good Sunday morning. You're listening to Twyla Southall and LJ Renee with What Does the Lord Say? This is Christian Talk Radio, here to challenge the status quo. If you keep doing what you're doing, you'll keep getting what you're getting. But if you want to see a change, if you want a spiritual revolution, if you need a spiritual renewal, stay with us. We are here to inspire, to inform, and to challenge you to consider what does the Lord say regarding life's issues. Visit our website for information on how you can join us for morning prayer, access previous podcasts of this broadcast, or you can even now access and download this podcast in iTunes. There is also information to follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, or even sponsor this show. Visit our website at www.whatdoesthelordsay.com. We would love to hear from you.
Know what today is, LJ Renee?
No, tell me.
Today is Pentecost Sunday. I don't know about you, but having come up in a Pentecostal church, apostolic church, you didn't even get a rite of passage unless you could quote Acts 2:38. So Pentecost Sunday, we're going to talk about this great celebration for the church of the living God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
I wonder how many people realize that it is Pentecost Sunday, you know, because Easter was in April.
It came a little early.
In the Bible, it talks about 50 days afterwards, the Lord told them to go and tarry in Jerusalem and
wait for the promise.
That's right. The baptism of the Holy Ghost, which oftentimes we just think it is just the speaking in tongues. But I really would like to talk about the essence and the importance of what happened on that day. The Spirit of the Lord fell not on them, but it went in them. That no longer would they have to trust on Jesus being with them for them to do great works. Now the Spirit of God, Jesus, is now in them.
Amen. And Acts 2, verses 1 through 4, it says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord and in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance."
Amen. Now that's what was done on the day of Pentecost. But today I want to see it done in the day that we're living in now. Just
Amen.
As Habakkuk had said, I'm going to read to you Habakkuk 3 because that was his song. And it says, and I'm going to read it in both versions, in King James and the Living Bible. First, the King James, it says, "A prayer of Habakkuk the prophet." Verse 2, it says, "O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known in wrath, remember mercy." This is the prayer of triumph that Habakkuk sang before the Lord. The Living Bible, it says, "O Lord, now I have heard your report, and I worship you in awe for the fearful things you are going to do in this time of our deep need. Begin again to help us as you did in years gone by. Show us your power to save us. In your wrath, remember mercy."
And you know, in the Message Bible, this is just such a powerful verse. In the Message Bible in Habakkuk 3, it says, first of all, he's praying this prayer. He's singing it before God with an orchestra, is what verse 1 says. But in verse 2, he says, "God, I've heard what our ancestors say about you, and I'm stopped in my tracks, down on my knees. It has floored me. Do among us what you did among them. Work among us as you worked among them. And as you bring judgment, as you surely must, remember mercy. So God, we have heard and read what you did on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. But our prayer today is, what do you do among us today,
right,
as we go to the house of God for worship? Would you fall among us like you fell among them? Would you rain down upon us as you rain down upon them? We know we've done wrong. So God, you've got to judge some things. But when you do,
oh,
in your judgment, would you have mercy on us, dear God?
God, this reminds me of the time when I first had seen the power of God fall so powerful in a congregation. My eyes, it bucked, because I had never seen God move in the way that he moved in that service. And ever since that time, it has been my desire to see that power move again. Your mind go back like Habakkuk did. I've heard about what my ancestors have said. Now I want to see what they have said.
And I read it in the scriptures.
And my grandmother
tell me how you used to fall in their services. And I've been hearing about it for so long that my soul is thirsty. When I come into the house of God, this is the same Jesus, the same God. How come we don't feel the power of God fall from heaven? How come we don't experience the manifestation of the glory of God like they did in my grandmother's day, like they did on the day of Pentecost? God, I'm tired of just hearing about you being the almighty King of glory. My prayer is like the prayer of Habakkuk. What do you do for us like you did for them? Would you work amongst us like you worked amongst them? But we know, dear God, we've done some things that have hindered the move of God, that has stopped the free flow of the rivers of living water. And our prayer today is, would you forgive us? And when you bring judgment, because you have to judge the sin, would you in your judgment have mercy upon our souls?
You know, there is a call even right now, in sense, in a call of repentance for the land.
Amen.
We have, listen, over the last couple of weeks, I've heard the prophetic voice come forth, and even them speaking what God has spoken to them, that judgment will be upon the land because of what we're doing now. And what is happening is that the church has to get involved. The church has to lead this movement. The things that I am seeing and the things that I'm hearing, it makes me know that we have integrated and we have assimilated into the world
we
system.
Have compromised.
Whereas the people can't tell whether you are of God or you are of the world. It's the same thing, and it makes my heart grieve. Matter of fact, I look upon Jeremiah when God sent him to speak to the people, and Jeremiah was so grieved because the people had rejected him. He said, my eyes are filled with tears. He was mourning because of the things that he had seen, and because the people would not receive what the Lord was saying to them. And so even to this day, I'm looking and I'm seeing some things that, and I know God is opening up my eyes to see these things that are going on in the earth today. And you wonder if anyone else is seeing the same thing. And it's like what the scripture says, you have ears to hear, but you don't hear. You have eyes to see, but you don't see, lest you would be converted, meaning that you don't want to look at it and you don't want to hear it, because you might see the truth and then it's going to require you to change. And that's when you're in a bad place, when you are enjoying where you are, when you're enjoying the filth, when you're enjoying the corruption, when you are taking pleasure in sin, and you don't want to know the truth because you don't want to stop doing it. That's a bad place that we are in this day.
And that's why we are experiencing such a drought of the presence of God,
my
the
God.
Glory and the power, the manifestation of God in our sanctuaries. But God is calling us today like he called them in the Bible, to say, if my people, you keep crying out unto me, wondering, why hasn't God moved? Why isn't God doing? But if my people, the problem is not that I won't move. The problem is not that my power is any less. The problem is my people have corrupted themselves. But if my people that are called by my name, these are the Christians. God. These are the ones that come to service and worship on Wednesdays and Fridays and Sundays. It's those people that carry the Bible, that speak with new tongues. If they would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I'll hear their prayer and I'll heal the land. But you've got to do the part that God has called you to do. We've got to humble ourselves. Get on the altar, grab the horns of the altar. We've got to be like a Jacob that refuses to let the horns of the altar go until the blessing of God falls down. Ask, but keep on asking. Seek, but keep on seeking. Knock, and don't stop knocking until the door is open. I mean, you've got to be relentless, and you've got to be like a bulldog, tenacious, and hold on to the horns of the altar and say, God, I'm not going to let you go till you bless me.
Oh, my God. That reminds me, I believe it's in Matthew 5, and he talks about the Beatitudes. And he said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Mm. And in hearing our conversation, that's where we are. Oh, Lord, we need to hunger and thirst after righteousness.
If we want to experience a Pentecost in our day, like they experienced in the Bible days, like they experienced at Azusa, we need to have the same commitment and dedication and consecration that they were willing to give. On the day of Pentecost, they had been in that upper room for many days, but until they were with one accord, until they began to pray, until the time of God was fulfilled, the Spirit of God did not fall upon them.
Yes. And you know what? When you were talking, I thought about Acts again, when he talked about, you know, go to the upper room until you be endued with power. And it said, and suddenly, a mighty rushing wind came upon them and set upon them like cloven tongues. And they all began to speak in languages that the people on the outside, who were different nations, they could understand. And what was happening is that they were hearing the power of God, glorifying God, and it was speaking in their language that they may understand that it was the Spirit of the Lord that was speaking. The upper room is very significant to the power of God. When the power of God fell in the upper room, it established the kingdom of God and his governmental power, that now that those that the Spirit rests upon and now are in, their job was to go out and preach the kingdom and show evidence of the kingdom by laying on of hands, touching them, that people will be healed, that demons will be cast out. He is saying that we have the dominion when we are filled with the Holy Ghost to set things in order according to the kingdom of God. When we are endued with power, we have the power to disturb territory and take it back from the kingdom of God. We have the power now to possess the land that he has given us, and not only to possess the land, but to cast out the enemies that would come against us. When the Spirit of the Lord fell down in that upper room, he was establishing the church. He was establishing his kingdom, and we are operating far below the power in which God has given us. When I read this gospel, I look at it and say, God, we have operated far below the power that you've given us. We have been intimidated. We have been pushed in the corner. We have been marginalized by the world when we are supposed to be governing the world. Matter of fact, the Bible says the kingdom of God comes with power.
But that's Hebrews, what he told them. He said, go and tarry until you are filled with the power.
Because
he had already given them the commission to preach the gospel. He had told them that you will preach the gospel in all of the parts of the earth, but now you gotta go. So the commission had been given, but now you gotta go wait for the impartation.
That's right, you might be able
to go out and do what I called you to do. He said, it is God that works in you both the will to do and the ability to do of his good pleasure. So he gave them the will when he wrote rose from the dead, they wanted to preach the good news that Jesus is alive, but they had not been endued with the power. So he gave them the will to do it, the desire to do it. Now he said, go wait in Jerusalem and I'll give you the power and the authority to do what I've commissioned you to do. But don't go before I've endued you with the power. Because if you come in any other name than the name of the Lord Jesus, you are no match for the kingdom of darkness. But when you come cloaked in the power of God, you will be like a David standing against a Goliath, that all you need is one smooth stone and it'll take that giant down. One will chase 1,000, two will put 10,000 to flight, but you must be endued with the power of God. You must come in the name of the Lord.
That's what we're saying today, that God is saying, come on, wake up. There's a job you got to do. There's people's souls are dying and not hearing the gospel. They're not seeing the evidence. Matter of fact, the Bible says these things shall follow those who believe.
These signs.
And he says that miracles, signs, and wonders shall follow those who believe. And so that's what...
But you know where we got this backwards? Just like what you said, these signs shall follow them. What we do today is we follow these signs.
That's right.
Because we don't see the manifestation of the power of God. Like it, there's not rivers flowing. There's a little dew drop here and a drip drop there. But he said there should be rivers of living water flowing from your belly. And because we don't see the rivers, every time there's a drop, we say, lo, he is there. And oh, he's over there. And we run and we chase after the here's and the there's and the signs and the wonders. But if you get in the power and the flow of the movement of God, you don't have to run after dew drops of blessings. The rivers of living water will flow freely from you. God, would you fall fresh on us? I pray, dear God, let the power of the Holy Ghost fall fresh on us. We have heard what you did on the day of Pentecost. We have read what you did in Azusa. But dear God, we pray like Habakkuk. Would you do for us what you did for them? Would you work amongst us like you worked among them? Spirit of the living God, would you fall fresh on us?
Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me.
Spirit of the living God, fall fresh upon me. You know, we say, Spirit of the living God, mold me, shape me, make me the way you would have me to be. And that should be our prayer to the Lord God Almighty. Lord God, make me what you would have me to be. You know what? Even before the song even started, I was thinking about Hebrews 11. It calls it the hall of faith. And it was talking about what the people of God did because they were endued with power. The Holy Ghost was not in them. It rested upon them. But now we have the Spirit of God in us. It was talking about those who walk by faith. The Holy Spirit increases your faith to believe the impossible things of God. And this is what it says, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, and stopped the mouths of lions. Mm. Now, I'm telling you, those things seem to be impossible.
And they were not filled with the Holy Ghost.
And they were not filled with the Holy Ghost.
Now we have the promise. And if you haven't received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, we will pray for you today that as you go to the house of God, that on your way, the Bible says of those that needed healing, as they went, they were healed. Mm. On your way, God will begin to pour down the power of the Holy Ghost upon you. He has made this promise to you. As a matter of fact, we didn't read all of those verses, but in Acts verse 2, chapter 38, it says, Peter said unto them, after they had manifested the power of God and everyone's heard them speaking in other tongues, and they thought that they were drunk, and they had to let them know, we are not drunk like you think. We're drunk, but we're not drunk like you think. This ain't about whiskey and wine, but this is about the power of God. This is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel, that in the last days, God said, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. This is the fulfillment of that promise. And Peter said unto them, if you want it, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you too shall receive this wonderful gift of the Holy Ghost, for it is unto you and you and you and your children's children, and as many as are afar off, as the Lord our God shall call. This is a promise of God to you if you want to receive the power of the Holy Ghost. I am so grateful that on the day of Pentecost, it says, and they were, when they were all in one place, when they got right where they needed to be with God with one accord and began to seek his face, the Bible says, suddenly, when you are where you need to be with God, suddenly God will do what he said he's going to do for you. Though it tarry, wait on it. It shall come to pass. And I believe even now, LJ Renee, that the Lord God is going to begin to suddenly manifest some things in the lives of those who are listening to this recording. Suddenly God's going to bring to pass things that have been spoken in our life.
Yes.
Suddenly God's going to do what you think you've been waiting a long time, waiting too long. But he's told us, you got to wait on me. I mean, he told us on many occasions, wait on the Lord and be of good courage. God's going to take care of everything that pertains to him. But if you wait on him, suddenly God will do this thing. You don't have to wonder, is God going to fulfill his word? There is no slack concerning the promises of God. If he said it, he will do it. And if he spoke it, he will bring it to pass. Every promise of God is sure, and you can bank on it. And suddenly God's going to do this thing for you. I don't know about you, LJ Renee, but when I came along, we used to tarry. And I had to tarry for a long time. Tarrying means to wait, but we turned it into work. And I felt like I was working for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I would say, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. And all of that is wonderful and good as long as you do it in the right mind. But when I was where I needed to be in the presence of God, I wasn't on my knees in a tarrying service in the upper room at the church, but I was in a church service revival. And I remember the woman of God was preaching, and she said, we're going to give God a 7 hallelujah praise. And you know, I had tarried so long, every time you said hallelujah, I thought about tarrying down there at that altar. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And she said, we're going to give God a 7 hallelujah praise. And I said, God, if you be God, if you want to give me the Holy Ghost, I pray, God, when I say hallelujah, because the woman of God had already set the stage. She said, when we say hallelujah the first time, God's going to do some things. He's going to break up some fallow ground. And we said in unison, hallelujah. She said, we're going to do it again. When we say it the second time, God's going to move some stuff that's been blocking your path. I said, God, if you want to give me the Holy Ghost, this would be a good time to do it. I don't know, LJ Renee, if it was the second time, the third time, or the fourth time, but somewhere between the first hallelujah and the seventh hallelujah, the power of God fell. Damn. And I don't know what anybody else around me was doing, but at the Church of Jesus in Springfield, Ohio, God rained down his Holy Ghost on me. And my God, I didn't know where I was, but I was called up to meet the Lord.
Yes.
And God filled me with the Holy Ghost just like he said he would, but I had to be where I needed to be. And suddenly God did what he said he would do.
You know what? God will make you hungry for the Holy Ghost. If you see it one time, you're going to want it. You're going to want it.
Hallelujah.
You're going to want it. You're going to run after it. You're going to run after it. You're going to thirst for it. And I can remember the same thing, Twyla, when I was in the church and they asked for those who were, you know, seeking the Holy Ghost to come up. And I did go up. And as I'm up here trying to, when I'm praying, I'm realizing, listen, this is about the fourth, fifth, sixth time I've been up to the altar. And Lord God, I mean, how much more do I need to come up here? I was beginning to feel very shameful because I had pursued it and it didn't happen. But one thing I
did, keep on asking.
But one thing I did, I believe I challenged the Lord and I said, but you promised me. And when I said that, immediately, suddenly it came upon me. I said, God, you promised. And that's what he said. He says, if you ask for it, I'm going to give it to you. And I just believe that those who have been hungering and thirsting for the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that your time is coming. I'm just going to encourage each and every one of you to seek the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I know you've seen people speaking in tongues and you got scared.
But we thought that it's only speaking in tongues. But when Jesus tells them, go tarry at Jerusalem, he doesn't say anything about speaking in tongues. He said, wait until you be endued with power. He came to give them power that they might fulfill the great commission to establish his kingdom in the earth. To go forth and preach the gospel, to turn the world upside down, to allow the power of God to flow through them, that when you come in contact with the demon possessed and you say, in the name of Jesus, you're not coming in your own authority, power, and might, but there is something in the words that you speak that's backed up by the power that emanates through you, that when you lay hands on the sick, you're not hoping and wishing and wondering if they'll get up, but when you lay hands, you take the authority God has given to every believer that says, when you lay hands, they shall recover.
Lord, in the name of Jesus, we thank you right now, God. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now I see you. I've experienced you. I have seen you, oh Lord, the power of the Holy Ghost, your power resting in us in these coming days, that God, that we will see you work in such magnificent ways, that God, that we will be fully persuaded that God, that you are who you say you are, and that God, that we will thirst and hunger after your righteousness. We, Father God, want to live in righteousness, oh God. Only you can do that for us. You just ask that, God, that we hunger and thirst for it, God. And we thank you in the name of Jesus. We will turn this nation upside down, dear Father God, that they may know that you are King of Kings, you are Lord of Lords, you are the great I Am, and there is none like you, O God, that every knee shall bow unto you, and every tongue shall confess that
God,
Jesus Christ is Lord.
We just want to
say,
as a body of believers, would you forgive us of our sins,
yes,
all of the idolatry, all of the wickedness, all of the ungodly works that we have done in your presence, God. We have sinned against you and against you alone. Would you wash us and cleanse us, God,
Lord, this morning
as we go to the house of God, that we could be with one accord, God, that we could stand in your presence, God, as those that have been washed in the blood of the Lamb, that we would stand as the forgiven of God. And Father, that when we get together with one accord, that suddenly there will come from heaven the rushing of a mighty wind, and you will let the Spirit of the living God fall fresh upon us. This morning, God, would you take away our agendas? I pray that you send songs, new melodies from heaven. Let praise teams and choirs sing songs that they did not learn. Let the musicians play skillfully under the anointing of the living God. And God, may you let these signs follow them that believe. In your name, may we lay hands on the sick this morning.
Yes.
May we cast out demons this morning. May we see the backslider run to the altar this morning to give his life back to you. This morning, may the signs and the wonders follow us, and may we stop following the signs and the wonders. Have your way, dear God. We glorify you. This is the Pentecost Sunday that we have been waiting for. Do for us what you did for them. Work in us like you worked in them. In Jesus' name.
thank you for tuning in. You have been listening to Twyla Southall and LJ Renee with What Does the Lord Say? For information on this program, on how you can subscribe to or access previous podcasts of this broadcast, visit our website at www.whatdoesthelordsay.com. Until next time.
Jesus, I need just a little more Jesus. I need